All right, it's good to see everyone. I'm going to start a little early this morning. I've got a whole lot to cover. And we are in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. If you would, turn to Exodus, chapter 15. Now, I'm going to read a lot of scripture this morning. I hope that you'll just hang on and try to stay up and realize that it'll all come together. It may seem disjointed, but I assure you, it'll come together. It'll come together. All right, Exodus chapter 15. And I'm going to read just a few verses to start the chapter to give you an idea of what's going on. Then I'm going to read one verse in the chapter and then move on, okay? All right. Then sang Moses and his children and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Let me first say this. I don't care what we do, whether it is singing, teaching, or preaching, or whether it's being an officer in the church, or whether it's being a prayer warrior during the week, we have to do it unto the Lord, folks. Otherwise, the teaching's no good, the singing is empty, the preaching is vain, the prayers will go nowhere. What we do must be unto Him.
Amen.
When something is done, when someone responds to a message, when someone is blessed by a song, when someone is helped by a prayer, when the church is helped by the officers, it will be God that gets the glory. Anything else is useless. Anything else is worthless. So he says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. Why? For he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. Don't ever forget that. Man, don't ever forget that. You may be 16-year-old and feel vibrant and strong, but without God, you're nothing. Without God, I'm nothing. No one in this room is worth anything unless God is your strength. Boy, I wish this country would understand that. We think we got this thing. We got nothing. Because we've turned from God. Just as sure as I stand before you this morning, this country. If you want to know, it breaks my heart. But we've turned from God, and if we think we're going to get by, we'll find out if we're going to get by. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare Him an habitation, my Father's God. I will exalt Him. It's all about Him. Not a one of us in here has ever done a thing for Him. Except He first did everything for us.
Right.
Look at verse 10. Thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. They sank as lead in mighty waters. He's talking about Pharaoh and the army, folks. He's talking about the enemy. Those who thought they were going to destroy the people of God. Well, just like you put lead on a sinker? I don't fish, but I do know that, I think. You put lead on the end of a line, and guess what it does? Bless God, it's called a sinker for a reason. And I'm going to tell you, without God, you'll be as lead in the water. You're going down.
That's right.
But then he says this, who is like unto thee? Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes during the week I just feel so overwhelmed and so useless and so unable to do what I know God's called me to do. Sometimes I wake up physically and I just don't know how I'm going to get it. But it's not about me. It's about Him. And I've never stood before this class that God didn't supply what I needed. You say, well, Tom, ain't you something? No, how? He's something. He's faithful. He's my strength. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders. That's our God, folks. Mm-hmm. You say, no, that's the God of Israel. Well, yeah, He's my God too.
That's right.
You file that, you'll see it. I told you it'll all come together. Don't you worry. Now look, if you will, at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, like I say, this is going to seem disjointed, but you hang in there with me. It takes me a little while anymore. I used to be pretty good at getting there, but I'm going to read a couple of verses to introduce it, and then I'm going to read one verse in this chapter. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish or take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the word of the Lord your God which I command you. Now, I made me a little note so it'll maybe help you too. The Word of God. That's what he's talking about. When he calls it commandments and statutes and judgments, all it is his Word. And when he says to keep it, all he means is honor it. All he means is value it. All he means is do it. How many of you want to go to Boy, I knew I'd get some of you, bless God, got two hands up, I believe. Well, that's what he said right there, folks. To go into the land and possess it, which I give to you. He's talking to Israel about one land, but bless God, he's talking to us about the land.
That's right.
Oh, you'll see it. You'll see it, I hope. Why does he start out by saying that? Why does he start the chapter by talking about his word? Well, look, if you will, at verse 30. Verse 30. When thou art in tribulation or trouble, what do you need? Well, let me say it this way. Who do you need? How do you get to God?
Through his word.
Thank you, brother. That's why he started out with the word. And that's why he says down here, now there's going to be times when you're in trouble. That's what tribulation means. It just means trouble. When thou art in trouble and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, whether it's now when they're going to cross over Jordan into the promised land, or whether it's in the latter days in Revelation when we're going to see it, here's what he says. If thou turn to the Lord thy God, and be obedient unto his. Okay, now I want you to immediately substitute a word for voice. Thank you. Thank you. You see how it all comes together? You see how it all comes together? For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them, if. You say, Tom, that ain't there. Well, I put it there. Because he put it there when he started. You'll go into the land, bless God, when you're obedient to my word.
That's right.
Otherwise, you're not going. You say, "Why, Tom, they went." No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They went 40 years in that wilderness, folks, because they didn't believe his word.
Right.
Remember the 12 spies? Two said, "Oh, we'd be easy to take this land." 12 said, "No, we're grasshoppers in their sight." They didn't believe God. If you don't believe his word, you'll never see the promised land. It's that simple.
Trust.
It's not hard. Listen, your husband, your wife, your children, your aunts, your uncles, your friends, your foes, if they don't believe the word of God, they're not going.
Right.
It's not hard. It's not complicated. Now look at verse 39. Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, upon the earth beneath, there's none else. That's his word. That's his word. I'm going to give you one word for that verse. Sovereign. God's sovereign. What sovereign means is he owns it all. You know, I heard Shaquille O'Neal. Anybody know anything about Shaquille O'Neal? You know, Shaquille O'Neal, yeah. And he's been a very good businessman after he got out of basketball. And he's been very, very successful. And his children came to him. This is a true story. His children came to him one day and says, "You know, we're rich." He said, "What's this we?" "I'm rich." God's rich, folks. And if you want to enjoy the riches of God, you're going to have to do it God's way.
That's right.
You know, we got this idea that God's going to conform to man. Oh, well, I got news for that bunch. You'll conform to God or you won't go.
That's right.
So, now look, if you will, at Deuteronomy 32 and 4. Deuteronomy 32 and 4. I'll read the first one. "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my..." Who did he leave out there? Who did he leave out? Well, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth." Who did he leave out? Nobody, bless God. You're either on earth or you're in heaven. You say, "Well, he left out hell. There's no need to speak to them in hell." "My doctrine shall drop as the rain." What's the word for doctrine?
Word,
teaching, instructions. "My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." Yes. Honey, I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 2. 32. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Now, where did I come from now that you've thrown me off?
You were from Deuteronomy chapter 4.
Oh, God. Now you've caused me to miss my...
I know, but you didn't read the right one. Where is it? You started verse 1.
I know that, but now I'm lost. Do what?
32,
thank you. 32 and 3. Is that where I'm at?
Yes.
Okay. "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is fully complete. Nothing lacking in his work." So what would that tell you about the work of Christ? Remember, he said, they said, "Lord, what might we do that we might work the works of God?" His answer was, paraphrased by me, nothing you can do to work the works of God, because they are, thank you. He says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he hath sent. If you want to be perfect before God, you better go through the perfect one. Right. If you want your works perfect before God, they better be coming through Christ, or they're not worth 5 cents to anybody. He says, for he is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. What does that mean? That means he's holy. The word holy. Word holy. It simply means this. Different. Different. Let me tell you something. I'm going right here. This young man's listening. God is different. God ain't like you. God ain't like me. He's different. He's holy. He's sanctified. He's set apart from everybody. Well, if he's set apart from me, you got problems, don't you? Because you'll never be in his presence if he's set apart from you. So what do we have to do? Well, the Bible says, and he and Peter, he says, for without holiness, no man shall. In other words, if you ain't, maybe you're listening, Lynn, I don't know. I just said the word holy meant different. Mm-hmm. If you ain't different, you ain't going. Remember, I told you, listen, God don't conform to you. You're going to conform to him. And when it says, be thou holy because God is holy, bless God, that's exactly what he means, Shirley. If you ain't holy, you ain't going. And that don't mean, oh, well, I better get out here and do some holy things. No, that means who you are. See, that means who you are. That means who he's made you. You're made holy. You're made like him. We're conformed to the image of his son. That's what he said. Well, I like being conformed to his image, because he ain't going to ever be conformed to mine. So he says, he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Look at Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29:12. 1 Chronicles 29:12. Y'all help me remember these now. When I get there, I may forget. 1 Chronicles 29:12. Well, let me just read the first verse to introduce it. 1 Chronicles 29. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom God alone hath chosen. Give me one word that'll paraphrase that right there. Starts with an S. The next letter's O. Thank you. It says God alone hath chosen him. He didn't inquire of David. He didn't inquire of anybody. Bless God, and when he chose you, he didn't inquire of anybody either. He chose you. He said, you've not chosen me. That would be me conforming to you. He says, I've chosen you. That's you conforming to him. But see, you can't conform to him, can you? You can't make yourself like God. You can't make yourself holy. He has to do that. Folks, that's what we call salvation. That's, listen, oh, maybe I ain't getting this across. That's why I stand here every Sunday morning to give out one message. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves. Listen, I can't save anybody. Couldn't save myself, can't save you. But I know one that can and did. Amen. Glory, I like it.
Yeah.
I tell you, there ain't nothing like being saved. You know, people will say, Tom, how you doing? I'll say, saved, and on my way to heaven, they look at me sort of funny. But that's my story. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Listen, I'm glad, bless God, I'm holy.
Yeah.
Not so people will think anything about me. I just want them to thank God. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. And then he comes over here in verse 10, and he's talking, and he says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. Listen, don't we come in here for that this morning? I know y'all get tired of hearing me. But folks, listen, if we didn't come in here to bless him, we might as well have stayed home.
Right.
It's his day. How many of you have been blessed this week by God? Well, if your hand ain't up, bless God, you're dead. You took air all week. It's his air. You know, my dad used to say, listen, I own the air you breathe. You're going to do what I say do in this house. Folks, on a greater, God owns the air you breathe.
Right.
And if he don't give it to you, bless God, they're going to be calling the morgue for you, mm-hmm. and the preacher for you, and maybe us to come and look at you. We got to understand who God is.
Right.
God ain't some guy sitting up there with white hair, you know, looking down just oblivious to what's going on and say, well, they bless their hearts. He's a sovereign God that sits on the throne. That's who he is.
Amen.
And he don't owe a one in this room a thing.
Right.
Not a thing. But boy, I'll tell you. I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad he showed me mercy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think about it. A sovereign God would show you mercy.
Yes.
Then he says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Thine, O Lord, is the power. Thine, O Lord, is the glory. Thine, O Lord, is the victory and the majesty, and all that is in heaven and in earth is thine.
Yeah.
And thine is the kingdom. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be, that means holy. Holy is thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's his. So what does that tell us? You better be in it.
Right.
You know, because when he comes, he's only coming for the kingdom.
Yeah.
Peter, remember he told Pilate, he said, listen, if my kingdom was of this world, then my servants would fight. And don't you know, O Pilate, that if my God wanted to, he'd send down a legion of angels and wipe every one of you out. But that ain't why I'm here. I'm paraphrasing. You can go read the story. It says that. He says, but that ain't why I came. I came to save you. I didn't come to kill you. But next time he comes, he'll be coming to kill you. Huh? Oh, I know people don't like that. God ain't coming to save nobody, folks. When he comes to save, you're saved.
Yeah.
And the lost is lost. As a tree falleth, so shall it lie. He's coming with judgment. You know how I know that? Well, here it is. I know the world don't like it anymore. I know we've tried to have different versions, bless God, so we can try to get around it. I know we've tried to take out words so we can try to get around it. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to stay with this right here.
Amen.
Because the first thing he said was, you better not add to it. And you better not take away. You say, Tom, that was in Deuteronomy. Well, when I get there, you're going to see it in Revelation too. He says, if you add to or take away from this word, I'll add to you the plagues.
Yeah.
My word is forever settled in heaven. And bless God, you better not be fooling with it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thine, O Lord, is the power, glory, and the victory, and the majesty, and that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as... give me one word that'll paraphrase that for you. Starts with an S. Sovereign, blessed God. We better understand who God is. This world's trying to paint God different, folks. God's sovereign. He's still on that throne, yeah. By the way. He ain't got off of it. He ain't going to get off of it. When I get you over there, I ain't going to get there today. I don't know how far I'm going to get. I'm having too good a time. I'm just going to hang in here. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is made great, and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thee, glorious name. Well, isn't that something to praise him for this morning? He's sovereign. But think about it. Think about it, Shirley. A sovereign God who owes us nothing. Whew, has allowed us to be his children. Boy, I don't know. Listen, that sort of gets my feet going up like this. I don't know. I sort of like it. Maybe, bless God, the rapture will happen in a minute and my feet will just keep going. And maybe I'll stand before him in a glorious place, in a sinless place, in a place, bless God, where there will be no sickness, sorrow, nor death. And I'll fall at his feet. And bless God, I'll say, well, glory, I'm here to stay because of you. Your sovereignty, oh God, has brought me here.
That's right.
Whew, glory. Now look, if you will, at Job 9. Now we've had Moses' testimony. We've had David's testimony. Well, let's hear, bless God, about old Job. He's got a testimony too. Here's what he says. Then, not chapter 9. Then Job answered and said, I know it is of a truth. You better know the truth. Huh? The truth is, whom the Son hath made free, you're free indeed.
Amen.
There ain't a word in here that's not true. That bunch up in Washington, they wouldn't know the truth if it slapped them right between the eyes. They couldn't. I'm not talking Democrat or Republican, independent. I'm saying that bunch in Washington wouldn't know the truth if it slapped them in the eye. Their truth is what will keep them in power. That's what their truth is. God don't need that. God's already got all the power. I just wrote it. Read it to you. Sometimes I get confused. Just ask my wife. Oh, by the way, I got to tell you. My little bride, God love its heart. Somebody told me, you know, I got this from this wonderful lady. She gave me some zucchini and squash, you know, and my wife fixed it. And I said, oh, it tastes like potatoes. Somebody told me, said, well, you ought to put potatoes in it. Huh. Oh, God. That little sweet thing. She fixed me a tenderloin last night. You know, they're not very big, but boy, they good. And you know what I had with it, brother? I had zucchini and squash and onion and potatoes. Man, you'd have thought an angel from heaven would have brought it down as manna. Oh, was that good. I ate so much. Oh, God, I had to go take another propanolol or whatever that is I take. Something. I don't know what it is. Then Job answered and said, I know it is of a truth, but how should a man be just with God? Here's what he said. Bildad, I know what you're telling me. What had Bildad told him? What, two verses before that in the previous chapter? He said, now the Lord rewardeth the perfect, but he'll judge the evil. And Job said, I know you're right, but I got a problem. I know he's not going to judge the perfect. But he says, how then shall a man be right with God? Now listen to him. I mean, this is a wonderful testimony. He says, if he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, and who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered, which removeth the mountains and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, Did you see that in the paper where they say the sun start to die now? The sun's starting to die. Oh my goodness. Oh, you know now why I can't stand them people. Which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, and Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth also on, but I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what are you doing? Give me one word paraphrase that. Starts with an S. Bless God, he's sovereign. He made it all. It's sustained by his word. And he don't need this bunch to say they're going to save anything. Because he's done said, I'm going to destroy it with fire. And now you can drive all the electric cars you want to, brother. It ain't going to stop him. Because I got news for you. He ain't caught off guard by anything. He had electric cars before there was electric cars. He knew what oil was before they found oil. He made the oil. He's sovereign. He's God. He sits there. It's his. But somehow we've gotten perverted, folks. We've forgotten who he is. Huh? Well, listen, please don't take this. I'm just teaching, bless God. I just teach. That's all in it. I got it before you got it, so that's just all I'm going to say. Bless God, sometimes we come into his house and we forgot, bless God, he's sovereign. We forgot what he's done for us. We just come in here and we act like we're doing God a favor. Right. We ought to come in here in humility.
Yeah.
Like David said, who is man that thou art mindful of? God don't owe Tom Foster a thing. But he's sovereign.
Amen.
And he's not only sovereign, he's merciful.
Yeah, right.
He's a redemption. Mm-hmm. He's the redeemer of mankind. John says he's the propitiation of my sins. And not only my sins, but the sins of the whole world. That's who he is. I just don't want us to ever forget. Look at Psalms 29 and 10. Psalms 29 and 10. I'm going to start with one. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory. And strength. What's he talking about? Does God need your strength?
No.
No. God needs your gratitude. That's strength. When he says, give unto the Lord glory, what's he talking about? Come into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with folks. That's what we ought to do. It's his house. It's his day. And if we realize he's sovereign, we'll come in here in humility, thanking him for who he is and for what he's done for us. Remember, his works are perfect. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in beauty and holiness. Holiness. What does that mean? I told you it meant to be
different.
Listen, we can't worship like the world worships. We have to worship like he said to worship. In spirit and truth. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Give me a word for voice.
Word.
Thank you. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Listen, he does what he wants to do. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like unto a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Just ask the three Hebrew children if that's not true. Mm-hmm. Bless God, they'll tell you it is. You say, oh, Tom, come on, that's just a story. Well, you believe that. And, no. Oh, God. I got to sit down. No, I said, honey, never mind. I meant you. Never mind. I know I believe it. I'm with you, sweetheart. Lord, this is hard. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovers the force in his temple. Doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. You say, well, Tom, what benefit is that to you? Well, bless God, he's my king. And if he's forever, he's my king forever. And that means I'm going to be in his kingdom forever. I like that. I get excited about that. I'm never going to leave his kingdom. I don't want to leave his kingdom. I'm not going to his kingdom. Bless God, I'm in his kingdom. And then he says this, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with strength. Look at Psalms 33 and 4. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harps, unto him with the psaltery, an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done. If you would, turn to Revelation. Now, we just heard a message last week in chapter 6 of Isaiah. And when Isaiah went to heaven in a vision, and he saw seraphims, angels, created beings, and they had 6 wings. They had 6 to cover their eyes. I mean, 2 to cover their eyes. They had 2 to cover their ears. And they had 2 to cover their mouth. And they did one thing, my friend. If anybody ever asks you, what are we going to do in heaven? Just say, well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to cover our eyes. We're going to cover our ears. We're going to cover our mouth. We're going to get down before him and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. You say, well, Tom, that won't take long. Well, it'll take eternity. You won't get tired of it. I can tell you that. You say, I don't believe that. Well, Isaiah said it because he saw it. John said it in Revelation because he saw it. In chapter 4, when you get there, you're going to see the beasts. Now the beasts don't get taken away by that, you know. Angels, seraphims, created beings. And guess what they do? Bless God, they just sit there saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, which is to come. That's what they do. And that's what you're going to do. And that's what I'm going to do. And I got news for you. I get more anxious every day to do it. Sometimes I come in here and this vile flesh that I live in has put up this hindrance to me to worship Him. But oh, bless God when that time comes. This flesh, see right now, will be gone. I'll have a glorified body, make them to liken to His glorified body. And they won't be no hindrance, brother. I won't be inhibited. I won't be hindered. I won't be ashamed. I'm going to be before the throne of God, before the sovereign one, before the one that said, Tom, you ain't done a thing to earn this, but here it is. Hallelujah. Here's home for you. That's what He said. If you're going over into the promised land, you're going to have to go by my word. Well, let me tell you something. At a red light in Orlando, Florida, in February 1982, I listened to the word. I made the move. I said, God, save me. And I'm going to tell you what, ain't never been the same. Never. I've never been the same. I've fallen, I've failed, I've sinned, but I'm going to tell you what, every time He's come in, whew, glory, maybe y'all ain't getting what I'm talking about this morning, but every time I've failed, you know what He does? He didn't come in and put a foot on me like that. He come in and said, son, that's all right. That's why I'm here. Come on, get up. Let's keep going towards glory, because the Sovereign One has got you in His hand. You ain't going anywhere, because the Sovereign One, the one that owns it all, bless God, He said, I'm going to bring you home. Amen. Woo, glory, I'm going home.
Yeah. Amen.
I know some people say I get too loud in here, but bless God, I can't help it. It's something to shout about.
Amen.
Woo, glory. Glory, hallelujah. I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water. You ain't going to move me. I'm telling you right now, you ain't going to move me.
Yeah.
Politics ain't going to change me. Government ain't going to change me. This church ain't going to change me. Bless God, I'm going home because of the Sovereign One.
Whew,
glory. Now, if you look in chapter 3, he says this, unto the angel of the church. I got to quit here. I'm going to come back next week. But he says, unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. Wouldn't it be something to get a letter from God, honey? Well, bless God, we got it. Pick it up. Pick it up. This ain't no different than the people in Philadelphia got. He said to me one day, he said, Tom, this is what I'm saying to you, unto that angel, to the church, thus saith the Holy One. He that is holy and He that is true. I read it to you. Where He's holy, He's sovereign, and He's true. And he says this, and then I'm quitting. I'm give out. Unto Him that openeth the door, and no man can shut it, and shutteth the door, and no man can open it. Becky, I got to tell you this, honey. You're the only one listening right now. My mind went straight to the ark. My mind went straight to the ark. For 120 years, the Bible says Noah preached righteousness. What was he saying? Get right with God. Judgment's coming. The rain's coming. I know you've never seen a boat like this, but there's never been a need for a boat like this. Well, let me tell you something. Men in this world, women in this world, maybe have never seen a book like this. But bless God, I'm going to tell you one thing. If you can get in it, you'll be safe on the way. He says, listen, 120 years, won't you preach to them? Boy, then in mercy. What a merciful God to be sovereign. He could say, well, hey, I told them 120 years, that's it, they're done. He said, yet 7 days. Maybe y'all don't get that. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking to the walls. I don't know. He said, yet 7 days. You know what they did in them 7 days, son? Nothing. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As they were marrying and giving him, bless God, they're just going along with life. Wasn't paying any attention until it's too late. And God said, son, take you and your family. Let me tell you something. I don't have children, but if you got children, bless God, you better grab hold of them and you better head them towards the ark. He said, take you, get your wife, get your sons' wives, and get in. And you know what they did? They got in. And you know what God did? He slammed the door. Mercy was over. Wrath was there. Judgment was there. The sovereign one, bless God, the one who sits on the throne, the one who owns it all, he promised them for 120 years and 7 days. It's coming. I say it all the time. I just talked to a man the other day, a businessman. He did something for me, and we walked outside, and I said, James, do you know the Lord? He said, I pray every day. I said, listen, you better stop praying and start knowing. Huh? You can't just say, I pray to God. You better know His Son is your Savior or you ain't going. Judgment's coming, folks. Just as sure as you're sitting in that chair you're sitting in this morning, judgment's coming. Yeah. And how do you know that? Bless God, the same one. He said, this is my word. Don't add to, don't take away. Because I'm telling you what, if you take away, bless God, you'll send somebody to hell. If you add to, you'll send somebody to hell. If you try to change this thing, you're going to send them to hell. If you try to make it to where they can live with it, you're going to send them to hell. Tell it to them just like it is. Stand on the wall, shout it out, and say, listen, judgment is coming. And I'm done.